means I ain't going to preach long. My daddy's smiling. He was picking at me this morning coming down here. He said, if I give you that, I said, you give me that, I'm going to put a kink in the oxygen line. Amen. Good to be in his house. Been a lot said this morning that confirms the word. And we're trusting the Lord to share something to encourage you.
Amen, brother.
It is the will of God we be encouraged, not discouraged. Jesus was a great encourager. Always. Brother Ike was talking about his dream. God used that this morning to confirm some things. Yeah, that's the first thing he said coming down the aisle, was talking about his dream. Of course, we know from the word how real that is. I'm glad God still does. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you got your Bible. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10 of God's word. We're going to begin reading the first verse where Paul said, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the reading of the word. Now speak it. And God, make it come alive to us. And God, only that you break up is worth having. And God, we trust you as you broke the loaves the young lad had. And blessed it, God, that you would take this word and break it. And God, feed thy people. We pray, God, your spirit would move. God, I'm glad that you still break our hearts. And God, use us. I praise you for that. And I pray you will again today. Do it in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Amen. Watch this key verse here, 3, 4, and 5. You know them well. Paul said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our warfare is not fleshly, is it? We're not warring against our husband or wife. We're not warring against our children or our co-worker. That's not where the war is. And he said, we don't war there, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. I pray God give us this, because we know we need this. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Genesis 31, as you turn back there, I want to begin to read just a few verses here and say a few things about how God puts this into play in the life of the believer. Now we read, oftentimes we read the New Testament and we say, well, we know what that said, but how do we put that into practical living? And so keying in on 3, 4, and 5, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We've all been around people that oftentimes they were the wrong spirit. Matter of fact, James and John got like that. Remember that over in John 9:55? Or Luke, rather. And in 56, remember John, that James and John came by as walking with Jesus. There's some people that wouldn't receive the Lord because his face was as he would go to Jerusalem. His face was steadfast, Jesus was. And there were some people that wouldn't receive him. And James and John got in the wrong spirit. And they said, Lord, would you like us? It'd be a good place to call fire down from heaven like Elijah did. I've always wanted to do that. Let us call fire down from heaven like Elijah did and just burn them up. Yeah. And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. And so they were in the wrong spirit, weren't they? He said, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so James and John, sometimes believers get in the wrong spirit. And so we do that. And so I remember one particular fellow that I worked with, that was 20 years ago. This fellow, I'm not saying I know all about his spiritual life, but I know he would get in the wrong spirit. And sometimes you'd get in such a wrong spirit, you'd just have to get off somewhere, walk around, truck, do something, and pray. And ask God to quench that old spirit that he's of. And you know, God would do that. And so Jacob, I'm going to talk a little bit about Jacob this morning. Jacob had some times like that in his life. And we are going to have times like that in our life too. Amen. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Don't you like that? Genesis chapter 31, read with me in the 11th verse. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straight, speckled, and gristled. And I've seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And I'm the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. So what happened in verse 11? God appeared to Jacob, and he appeared to him in a dream. And here, Jacob is giving us a refresher course. Now, I like this because, as we have said something in the past, Jacob does get an awful bad rap about all his deception, doesn't he? And so I say he does. Now, others say, my wife sometimes, you know, we have one of those spiritual discussions about this, and she said, whoa, whoa, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. I said, wait a minute, I'm batting for Jacob. I'm at the plate. And I'm swatting them out of there for Jacob. And so why? Well, we know if we went back into time to see it all, how that Rachel, we done talked about this, Rebecca said, go in and take this. And she prepared the meat and she got the groceries ready and she found the coat of Esau and all these things. And so Jacob leaves, he minds his mama, and he leaves, and of course we know he had an experience, but here he's found himself at the house of Laban. And his wages was changed 10 times in 20 years. And I got a good feeling they weren't going up. And so don't you? I would imagine when Laban changed them, they were doing the downward spiral. And here, God has appeared to him in a dream. And what did he say? He said, Jacob, here. Jacob said, here am I. And he said, look, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leaped upon the cattle are ring straight. And speckled and gristled. You know the story. And so here, we don't find this back in the earlier part of the chapter. We don't find this how. We say Jacob just had a good idea. And Jacob, the supplanter, was the deceiver that deceived his poor old daddy-in-law. But Jacob rehearsed this to the girls. He said, listen, girl, wife number one and wife number two and concubine number one, concubine. Y'all sit down. They would have taken up the whole pew, Jacob's women were, and said, let me tell you what your daddy's done. And so in 20 years, I've served him 20 years, he's changed my wages 10 times. But what happened? God came by, and the angel of God spake and said, look, and I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. There's comfort in that. There's encouragement in that. That God sees, Brother Jimmy, he sees what happens to us when we think nobody else knows. And so you said, preacher, I get a bad rap. Bad rap at work. Bad rap over here. God sees it. And he told him, he said, watch now. All these things, you want to know where the ring strike and the speckled and the gristle came from? God said, I've done that. And Jacob rehearsed it a little later. And he said that God has taken your father's cattle and he has given them unto me. Hallelujah. And so it's what he done. And so remember, it's time to flee now in the 14th verse. Rachel and Leah said, there's no inheritance here. Is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? And the answer is no. And Jacob said, it's time to go, girls. And they said, bless God, let's go. There's no portion here. And so they began to leave. And we know that they fled in the night. He rose up, carried it all away. Verse 18, he left with all his goods which he had gotten. And the word said as he went out, 3 days later, somebody has noticed that Jacob and his flocks are gone. Laban pursues him. But watch now, look what happened in the 29th verse. It is in. Laban said, it's in the power of my hand, Jacob. It's in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight. Where was that, Laban? He spake to me in a dream. He spoke to me in the dark of night. But this ain't the first time this has happened. No, remember back in Abraham's life. Abraham preached a little bit about this for the radio a while back here. Abraham goes down. Remember, God told him to park there at Bethel and Hai. And so he did, and he built altars. And so he went over here and he built some more altars. And so here the famine came. And Abraham picked up him and his dear wife. And they went down into Egypt. But there's one problem. One problem, and that's the fact that Abraham's wife Sarah is a little too sporty to be sporting around. And Abraham, before he got there, and Abraham's no dummy, he said, listen, Sarai, I want to share this with you. You're a little too good looking to haul up in there with all them Egyptians. And I know I'm going to go ahead and forecast what's going to happen. What's going to happen is they're going to kill me, and they're going to keep you. That's what's going to happen. And so what happened when they got there? They said, bless God, look at her. And they went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, you got to see what just rolled up in town. I mean, she is a sight to behold. And so Abraham's already feeling this thing. And he said, whoa, she ain't my wife, she's my sister. Maybe that'll spare me. And so he told the story, this is my sister. And so here, everything's going along real good. Till God appears to Pharaoh in a dream. And God shows up and says, don't you touch her. And God began to pronounce curse and death and all of these things in the 21st chapter. And Pharaoh, what happened? He understands real clear the language of God. And he got up and told Abraham, get thee out. Go. Take all this and take it with you and go. And so Abraham was evicted out of Egypt. And where did he go? He went back where God placed him. And he went back to the altars that he built. And he narrowly escaped. And so we find it. What happened? He built altars in the early part of Genesis 13. And he went down to Egypt. And he found out in the 12th to 13th chapter, he found out how well. This is very important that we build altars in our life. We don't know when we're going to need them. We don't know when we're going to be looking for him again. And so he thought things would be good down in Egypt, but they weren't good. And so as he went back to the altars that he built. And so we need those. We need those in our life. Jacob understood something about building altars. Remember, he built one when he fled unto Padan Aram. He built one right there in the earlier part of these chapters we're talking about. And he built one, and the word said it was his pillow of stone. Before God got done, he turned it into a pillar, an altar, and he was pouring drink offering upon it, and he was pouring oil upon it. He was anointing it because this is Bethel, the house of God. And before God gets done in Jacob's life, remember where the weapons are? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What was it that tore down the strongholds of Laban? It was God. And he said, I have power. He said, there's power in my hand to do thee hurt. Remember that place? There's power in my hand to do thee hurt. 31:29. And the word said, it's there. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, neither good or bad. God said, as far as I'm concerned, Laban, just don't even speak to him. And when Laban found him, he was a lot nicer fellow. Your brother Ike talked about saw it in a dream. Brother, I'm going to tell you, Jacob, that whole matter of pillars of almond rod in the watering troughs, that was not Jacob's good idea. The angel of God showed him that. He said, God did it. And if God hadn't done it, you would have sent me out of here with less than I come with. And what I come with was a rod and a staff. We've got that. That's all I brought. He said, Laban, if it had been up to you. Oh, they had a little argument. They had a little set too. But I want to tell you, Brother Laban was handcuffed by what he saw in the dream. I'm talking about him that's able to handcuff the devil. Him that's able to handcuff. I'm telling you, he's the one that'll make a toothless tiger. He's the one that'll cause a lion to sit beside a Daniel all night. And when the king can't sleep good and he finally gets there and says, oh king, oh Daniel, he said, it's not God delivered thee. But I'm going to tell you, he's the one that can cause the enemy to become nothing less but something harmless. And Laban pursued him. We're going to see it a little further. Laban pursued him and God stopped him. And so he said, 20 years have I been with you. And verse 38, you'll find it. And he said, thus, verse 40, I was in the day. Jacob said, drought consumed me and the frost by night and my sleep departed from mine eyes. And what did you do? Verse 41, you changed my wages 10 times. And except verse 42, we better know where the blessings come from. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Jacob said, let's understand one thing, Laban. Except the God of my father, of Abraham and of Isaac, had been with me, surely you would have sent me away now empty. You'd have sent me out of here broke. But God wouldn't have it. Isn't it so? Watch now. Follow on a little bit and see. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar and they made a contract. And the contract said something about this. Laban said, I won't pursue you anymore. And we'll leave it all on good terms. And let's part ways right here on good terms. And so it was good terms with Laban now because God fixed it. But now we got another issue to deal with. Watch in Jacob chapter 32 verse 1 as he went on his way. And the angels of God met with him. Brother, what is it? See, there was something about that Bethel experience back there in the 28th and 29th chapter. There was something about that when we see what happened. Remember the place. Jesus was talking to Nathanael, I believe it was. And Nathanael was amazed that Jesus had saw him sitting under a fig tree. He said, I just can't believe that you saw me sitting under a fig tree before you ever met me. And Jesus said, behold, he said, you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending. You're going to see them ascending up to heaven and descending upon who? The Son of Man. He said, you're going to watch that. You said, there's no record of that anywhere in the Word. Jacob saw that. He saw in his dream, remember that first night at Bethel, while he's laying on his pillows of stone that will soon be a pillar of stone, an altar. God appeared to him in a dream. And he saw the vision. And he watched that ladder. And he watched those angels from the earth up to heaven and from the heaven down to the earth. He watched that and saw that. His experience with God was a real experience. And no wonder Jacob was not amazed when God began to give him all the cattle and the flocks of Laban. He gave them to him. Jacob wasn't amazed by that. Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. Well, who does that include? What about Satan? What about Lucifer? What about that anointed cherub of Ezekiel 28? Lucifer. And then what about him of Isaiah 14? Remember the place where he said five times in the 12th verse, I will be like the Most High. Listen, Paul said, and every high thing, that's Lucifer, sir. Listen, our power over Satan is real. We talk about this a lot, but I can't get away from Luke 10:19, where Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over how much power of the enemy? All the power of the enemy, A double L, all. And here it's Laban that Jacob has to deal with. And now there's another fellow coming back by his way by the name of Esau. Him that we say his blessing was stole from. But I want to tell you, sir, that something happened there. When Rebekah knew in her heart that she was with twins, and what did God tell her? God told her, he said, there's two nations in thy womb. And said, they will strive together. Don't you worry about that. That's two nations. Have you ever been amazed at the fact that when Esau found out it would vex his father, he went to the daughter of Ishmael. That's right, Ishmael, remember him? He went to the daughter of Ishmael for wife. This tells you all you need to know about this man. And so here, Jacob has to deal with him again. We know that God gave Jacob the blessing. The blessing was upon Jacob. And he used Rebekah to do it. But let's fast forward to the next facet of his life. He went on his way, 32:1, and the angels of God met him. And when they saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak. And so Jacob's getting ready for this reunion. Now this is not your typical summer reunion. No, he expects bloodshed at this reunion. The last thing he heard out of the mouth of Esau is, I will not rest till I kill you. I'm determined to kill you. Don't you like to have people like that in your life? That the last thing they told you was, I will get a hold to you one day. And so here it's been 20 years now that he left. And so the word said that Esau, what did the messenger say down in the 6th verse? He said that Esau's coming and 400 men with him. Now Jacob, the last time he had roll call, there was not 400 men in his army. But Esau has 400. And Jacob, watch now, was greatly afraid, verse 7, and distressed. Church, I want to tell you, there will be times we'll be greatly afraid and we'll be distressed at what lies ahead. We don't know, the song says it well, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And Jacob wasn't sure. As a matter of fact, he took his family and he divided them up into bands. Remember this? And the wife he loved the most, he put in the back. And I can't help but believe it, Brother Larry. Now, this ain't a good place for an amen. But I believe the wife that he loved the least, he put in the front. That's what he done, wasn't it? Maybe they'll run out of gas before they get to Rachel. And so they put Rachel in the back and Joseph there. Put him in the back. Put him in the back. Why? Because he loved them the most. And so we're about to meet Esau. And Esau's coming with 400. And so he went over the Ford Jabbok and he had a prayer meeting. Watch this. I tell you, it's a good place for a prayer meeting. When we're afraid, it's a good time to pray. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare, Paul said, they are not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down. It's a good time to pull down some strongholds now. There's 400 in Esau's band. And here am I. And the word said, Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham and of my father Isaac. Verse 9, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country. Now listen, you will not offend God by doing this. God told him to get back to Bethel where you anointed the pillar for a stone. Get back over there. And he said, God, let's clear up two things. You are God. Number one, we got to get that settled. Yeah. And number two, I'm going back where you told me. Amen. Power in that kind of prayer, brother. There's power in that kind of prayer. You won't offend God by reminding him of his word. He wrote it. You won't offend him by reading it back to him. He loves that. He delights in his word. 138 Psalm of the second verse. He's magnified his word above his name. Oh, you make God smile. You know, you hear people sometimes talking about things that say, that'd make God sad. And sin makes God sad, don't it? But when we read his word, it makes him smile. He said, I don't think God's emotional. Well, who do you think he is? Statue? No. God has a heart. God has hands. God has eyes. God has ears. Yeah. God gets happy. God gets sad. God rejoices. God gets mad. Isn't that so? He does that. And Jacob said, let's get something straight. You're him and you told me and I'm going where you said. And if Esau's in the way, you've got to deal with him. Isn't that so?
That's good, brother.
God's told us where to go. We got to do His bidding and let Him take care of the rest. Wives, what did Paul say? He said the weapons of warfare are not carnal. We need to get that. I don't care what you're wrestling with. Your weapons are not carnal.
That's right.
We're not dealing with flesh and blood. It ain't time to get our dukes up. It's not time to turn to fleshly means. Jacob understands. The last time I had roll call, I got a bunch of women, wives and concubines and youngins. And I got that. I don't have 400. So you got to know where you are. You got to know where you stand, don't you? Jesus taught like this in Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as harmless. Here goes Jacob. He said, bless God, I'm going to give it the best stab I got the rest up to you. Watch what he said in the 10th verse. God embed this verse in our heart. He said, not only are you God, not only are you sending me back, but I'm not worthy the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant with my staff. What did you come with, Jacob? I come with a stick. The only thing I come to this country with was with a stick. That's all I had. I didn't have a pillow. My pillow was a pillow of stone, remember? No, I come with a stick. I didn't have one wife, two wives, three wives, or four. I come with a stick. I come me, myself, and I. I come with a staff. I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. You know what he's saying? God, you did the blessing. If you want to get somewhere with the Lord, this is how you do it. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. I find it all through the New Testament that every time people took an approach like that, you know what happened? The mercy of God flowed toward them. The mercy of God flows, Brother Raymond, when we approach God with a spirit of humility. You humble yourselves. Let's go back to James for a moment, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse. Humble yourselves on the side of the Lord, and He shall do something. He shall lift you up. That's what He said. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I like that.
Amen.
Humble yourselves at the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. And what's Jacob doing? He knows James 4:10 for James knew it. He is humbling himself in the sight of the Lord. And he said, God, I'm not worthy of all your mercies, and dead sure ain't worthy of all your truth. And if I got anything, you gave it to me. I'll come over here with a stick, and you've made me two bands, and deliver me. Here it comes. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. The hand of Esau, you know him. For I fear him, lest he come and smite me. Sometimes we just got to tell God what we really think. It's no time to dress it up, church. It's time to get down to business. He said, I fear, not only is he going to smite me, but he's going to kill this whole nest of young'uns you gave me. Everyone up. I'm afraid of that. You see, fear is not necessarily of the Lord, is it? But when we have it, we can bring it to the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
It's important we realize that God wants us to bring it to Him. Cast your burdens on the Lord and leave them. That's what Jacob understood. And the Word said, thou hast said, I'll surely do thee good. Always reminding God of His promise again. You said, I'll surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And as one thing happens, if Esau snuffs us all out, we cannot be numbered innumerable as the sand of the sea. But you said, listen, this is not twisting God's arm and getting him into Boston Crab down on the floor and manhandling God. It's not it. It's not what we're talking about. We don't command God to do anything. He's God. We petition Him. But that petition always falls on the ears that hear. Behold, I'm the Lord. Isaiah 51 said, 59:1 said, behold, I'm the Lord. He said, I'm the Lord. And He said, my hand is not shortened that it cannot save them. Neither is my ear heavy that I cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And what else happened? Your sins hid His face from you that He will not hear. first thing Jacob does is he gets before God and opens his coat and says, look down in this whole heart that's not worthy of any of your mercy. And I'm not worthy of any of your truth. But if you'd be good, if you'd keep your word and you said go back to Bethel, you brought it up. See it? God, if you don't do something. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau. So he's sending a present. He's making amends. He's sending them forth. All these things are going. And what are we going to say when we get there? Look at the 18th verse. Say, it is a present sent unto my Lord Esau. I want to tell you, God's got some presents in this thing too. Listen, Jacob ain't the only one giving out presents here, brother. No, God's got some presents in his sack. God's got some things he wants to give. Watch now. And here he's sent, he's doing everything in his power. Hey, something about it. Listen, it is doing that God gives us wisdom to do. Obeying God to the fullest extent that we know how. And trusting God for the rest. It's not sitting on the couch and asking God, pay my light bill. Do whatever you got to do. Old cap, hood, I don't care how you do it. Pay the bill. That's not it. No, it's doing everything in our power, everything in our might, and trusting God for that we can't. And Jacob understood it. So commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau. Look at the 20th verse. Jacob said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. And then he sent them over. Watch now, getting down to the good part. And he took them, verse 23, sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. But there's something about, it's something about staying with that we trust in. Believing it unto the end. So there's something about the believer. It's a good place right here to point out some doctrine. The believer, you know what the believer does? He stays. He perseveres. He has nothing else to trust in. He knows that salvation's of the Lord. And he's staying with him that brought him, bless God. And Jacob said, I may go, and Esau may get every last one of us, but I'm staying with the God that brought me. I'll stay with him. You wonder how great saints of old withstood persecution? They stayed with the one that brought them. They stayed. Remember those. Remember when they came out of Egypt and God stopped the Red Sea? God stopped it. He congealed it. That's right. That's what the word said in the book of Psalms. He congealed it. God made the Red Sea like jello. He congealed it. He stopped it. And it stood. And it stood while they all crossed over on dry ground. And Brother Moses, you know what he's doing? He's staying with the one that brought him. And they said, Moses, those Egyptians are pursuing mighty hard, Moses. What are we going to do? And he said, stand still. It's no time to stand still, Moses. I took swimming lessons down at the YMCA, Moses. Let's go. He said, stand still and see.
Yeah.
Stay with the one that brought you. And in salvation, we stay with the one that bought you.
Amen.
Him that bought us, brother. Those old saints, those precious old medieval time saints, you know why they went to the death of a cruel grave? You know why they were sewn up in lion skins and fed to the beasts? You know why they withstood all that? They stayed with the one that bought them. And they stayed with the one that brought them. And Jacob, he's left alone. And he said, I don't know everything's going to happen. But he said, God, I'm not going to turn you loose. I'm not. And so what happened? He said, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. I've got to have the blessing of God. Church, maybe you don't even see it now, but there will be a time when you will say in your heart like Jacob, I have to have the blessing of God. Got to have it. It's got to be so. I know there were times it wasn't like this in Jacob's life. Everything was going good. Mama's taking care of him. Smoothing everything over back at the ranch. But it's not there. It's Jacob and he's left alone. There's nobody to fight his battle for. It's got to have God.
Amen.
And I will not let thee go. But I want to tell you, Jacob. Now, we know Jacob was powerful in his flesh. He was a powerful man. But he's not fighting a fleshly battle. No. Now, when he came, remember when he came over to Padan Aram, and they were standing there, those shepherds were standing there waiting on everybody to gather up about noonday. They're going to roll the big rock off. Remember that? They're going to roll off the big rock and water the sheep. And Jacob seen Rachel. He said, bless God, what y'all waiting on? He just bowed up and moved the rock. He's quite a man. He was. He bowed up, brother. And he moved the rock. But now it's not fleshly. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And he said, turn me loose. Jacob's not holding on with physical strength. He is holding on with prevailing in prayer. He understands what it is to prevail in prayer. And we've got to be fast, but watch it now. And the word said, he said, what's thy name? God did. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall not be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God. You mean Jacob can have something I can't have? Do you mean that God will honor Jacob's prayer life, but he won't honor mine? Do you mean to tell me that there's any respect of persons with God? No, there's none. God said there's none. Jesus said there's none. Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye do. And Jacob, God said, he is a prince. As a prince, has he power with God? It's not changed his mind about that, church. When we prevail in prayer. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, and he said, I've seen God face to face, and my life's preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew that shrank upon the hollow of the thigh. And to this day they still won't eat of it, is what he said, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. That wrestling match left real problems in Jacob's thigh. But I'm going to tell you, it got real answers. Real answers when we wrestle with God. You know what kind of answers we get? Real answers. I want to tell you, he might have left there with a hobble in his wobble. Oh yeah, Jacob might have left there and he never was the same Jacob no more. He may have had a hobble in his wobble, but he prevailed in prayer. Yes. And God moved and God worked. And when he met old mean, rugged, rough Esau, that mighty hunter, great man, loved deer meat. He had something going for him. Esau loved deer meat. I do too, don't you? I'd take a big old tenderloin right now, wouldn't you? Oh, backstrap right off the grill. Esau loved deer meat. He loved the rough life. He was a rugged man. But when God got done with him, he's harmless.
Yeah.
And Jacob ain't going to whoop him holding that old bad hip. No, he ain't going to whoop him with that. Bless God, he whooped him at the altar.
Amen. That's it.
Because the weapons of our warfare, church, I pray to God you get this. This is not to do anything but extend this to us, that God will give us that same spirit. Why? Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and Esau came. Esau came. What happened? All these things. And Esau, you wonder what happened? Look at the fourth verse. He ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. That's what happens. That's why, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I tell you, we're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I don't know, but I know him. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, 2 Timothy 4:6, and the time of my departure is where? It's at hand. He said, but I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And he said, there's henceforth laid up for me.
Yes.
See, he's looking to the crown. And he wasn't so concerned about Nero's guillotine as he was concerned about the God who bought him. And the God who brought him. And boy, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about getting blessed now. My wife sang that song, oh, what a Savior's mind. I believe Jacob knew one of them tunes. I believe he left that event with Esau singing, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Bless God, here he is. That love is restored. God restored it. Esau said, oh, my brother, I have enough, and keep that unto thyself. And I'm going to tell you, he's the sweeter, nicer Esau now. That's what, sugar won't melt in his mouth, you know. know why? God spoke to him too. Laban said, I have power to do thee hurt. Yeah, but God spoke to me yesternight in a dream. And Pharaoh wants to take Sarai for a wife, but God appeared in a dream. And Jacob said, I would have left here broke. But you know what happened? God came by in a dream. And God said, Jacob, take some gristle rods and almond rods and pillars and make you out some streaks. That makes no sense in the flesh, does it? There's nothing genetic about that. Auburn can't come up with that. Mississippi State can't. You can't make that happen in the flesh, but God can. God said, do this, and I'll give you all of Band's cattle. I'll give them to you. See, God will say it, and God will do it if we will believe it. Throw all the stones at Jacob you want to throw. I never found where he doubted. I never found where doubt was a problem for Jacob. I know he's sneaky. Oh, he had a little sneaky side to him. My wife's smiling. We have this conversation. He had a little sneaky side to him, but he never doubted God. Don't you like this? Now, this ought to bless you. I love this because I don't want to see patriarchs that had it all figured out. I don't want to see those Old Testament characters that had all their I's dotted and T's crossed. No, I don't. I want to see folks like Jacob. Yeah. I want to see folks like Abram. That's thinking, Sarah, you look too big. Darling, you look too good. Tell them a ball fact. Tell them you're my sister. You say, well, he was half sister. Yeah. Cover for him if you want to. That's the same thing when God showed up. Abram's sitting in the tent. He's sitting in the tent door. If I don't fall, if somebody falls, somebody come get me. He's sitting in the tent door, and God showed up in the heat of the day. It's a hot summer day. God showed up. Three men came up, and God made a promise, and he said, this time, next year, Sarah, I understand she's 90 years old, Sarah shall bring forth a child. And Sarah's back there, and she's got her ear up against the goat hide on the tent door. And in her heart, she's doing what you're doing. She is laughing. You know what we do? We say, me and brother had this conversation one time. We was talking about Abraham laughing. Sarah laughing. And Sarah did laugh, didn't she? Well, I said, well, Abraham laughed too. And he did, didn't he? God told Abraham that. And the word said he fell on his face. Abraham's doing a belly roll, laughing at God. God said, you're going to have a son, and it ain't Ishmael. He said, Lord, bless Ishmael. He said, Ishmael, I like him pretty good. I'm going to give him 12 nations, but he ain't him.
Amen.
He's not him. It's Isaac. It's going to be Isaac.
Yes.
And he couldn't receive that. And when Abraham got through laughing, and he got up and he got the dust out of his hair, he said, okay, God, you said Isaac. I'm through laughing. I believe you.
Yes.
See, it's not important we have it all figured out. It's important that when we get done doubting, we start believing.
Amen.
And Sarah's back there, and God said, why is Sarah laughing, Abraham? Tell me why Sarah laughing. And Sarah said, oh, I didn't laugh. No, you didn't. You laughed and you lied. I didn't laugh, God. That's the way we do. It's kind of like funniest videos. Watched one of them funniest videos the other night. You know, this is one of the best ones I ever saw. And a little kid, maybe it wasn't, whatever it was, a little kid had them little snack cakes, had them little sprinkles all over his face. A little bitty toddler. And mama said, you been in the cakes? And sprinkles all over his face, but icing everywhere.
No.
No, I ain't been in no cakes. Yeah, what you do? God says something, you say, oh, no, Lord, it wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. God said, why is Sarah laughing? And Sarah said, I ain't laughed. God said, yeah, you did laugh. Quit lying. You laughed.
Yeah.
That's the way we are.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're like us, ain't you?
That's right. Yeah.
Last point I want you to see. We ain't got time for any more points. What about a half a point?
Amen.
And the word said this. Look over. As God brought him out, God restored him. Look now, God's not done. He parked, I'm going to give it to you quick. 33:18, he parked in Shalem. Shalom, the Jews would say. The city of Shechem. He came there, and he pitched his tent there before the city. And you said, well, he wasn't staying, preacher. Okay, he bought a parcel of a field. You say, well, he still wasn't staying. Okay, his daughter had time to get raped there. Are you listening? There was war there. Bloodshed there. He was staying. He was. And watch what happened. In the 35th chapter, in the first verse. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. That same place you made the promise. The same place I told you to go when I gave you all the man's cattle. See, you know what I love about this? God didn't change his mind. My Bible's close. But God does not change his mind about what he says. And he brought him through all of these hurdles. God may bring us through some hurdles, but he still has a plan. God still has a plan for a people called a church, the bride. He still has a plan. And God won't be done until we're back where God called us to be. And if you're outside of his will, he's not through with you. No, he'll bring you through some Esau's. He'll bring you through some Labans in your life. But God's not done. And when it all happened as it did. Dinah, maybe if he hadn't stopped there, maybe his daughter is not defiled there. If you don't stop there, Brother Donnie. Some of you this morning, God's showing you something. And if you won't stop there, and pitch your tent there. Hardship may not come there. If I keep on moving. If I get off that exit ramp, it may be something bad. But if I keep going where God said go. Where did he say? Bethel. Back to Bethel. Where's Bethel? The house of God. That's what Bethel means, the house of God. And so how is it that people think they can get out of the house of God? And get out of the will of God. And yet have God's blessings. You may have them, but you may have hardships too. You better get back there. And you know, Jacob couldn't rest. God wouldn't let him rest. I'm talking about the perseverance of the saints, but I'm also preaching a faithful father who will not leave his young'uns alone. You know what he'll do? He'll pick us up. He'll dust our bridge. I tell you, when we first got ours, all three of ours, I think it was all the same way. You know, they get in them little walkers. Is it a stroller? Walker. What is it? Walker. They get in them little walkers, and they get over there by them blinds, you know, on the French doors, and they grab them. They can't take all that grabbing, brother. And I say, hey, play with them French blinds. Don't mess with them. And then they look around like we do God. Yeah. And they'll do this. Yeah. Don't they? Yeah. That's what we do. We wonder if God's looking. And that's when it's come over time and that's where it starts, right? Right there. You see what God's doing in Jacob's life? It's Bethel, Jacob. Bethel. Get to Bethel. Go to Bethel. 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 Yeah. It's not Shiloh. It's not any of those other places. It's at the house of God where the blessings flow. And Jacob, listen, long story short, he came back there and he tarried there and he stayed there and the blessings of God were there. Are you listening? We ain't preaching it for Jacob. Jacob's gone. We're preaching it for us. Amen. Outside of God's will, there's no blessings there. There's hardship. There's battles to fight. There's enemies on all sides. We have to take what God gives us and trust Him to do the rest. But we have to stay in His will. We've got to. And if we don't, it says, as we stand together, you've been sitting a little while.